What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Bit of a dress rehearsal under the lights for the Commanders against the Cincinnati Bengals. This will be the closest thing to legitimate, authentic football we get in August. This is the tune-up for the Commanders.
It's as good as we're going to get, as you said, my friend. A number of starters or regular key contributors are not playing, which probably leads me to believe that we're not going to see as much of Daniels as maybe I want, and certainly not as much as you want. But, you know, that's the key. This is going to be our one shot to see him. No Laremy Tunsil, no Brandon Coleman, obviously no Sam Cosmi for the indefinite. So I can't imagine they tried him out there for multiple series or into this, you know, late into the second quarter, et cetera. I could be surprised by it, but they'll probably play it cautious without a lot of his guys up front.
Well, that's actually really interesting. How do you play this? Because it did seem like they were going to play him, and they will, right? He's going to play, I would think, at least a series, maybe a couple of series. But to your point, no Laremy Tunsil at left tackle, no Brandon Coleman at left guard. So how seriously do you want to make it? You know, how much run do you want to get him behind a left side of the offensive line that could be Chris Paul at left guard and Andrew Wiley at left tackle? If he needs the work and you feel like you got to get him out there, then maybe they'll do it anyway. But I would think because of the offensive line situation, we could hedge a little bit to say less is more for Daniels tonight. And I don't have a big problem with that. In a perfect world, I want to see Laremy Tunsil at left tackle. I want to see Brandon Coleman at left guard. And if you've got your allotted offensive line in front of him, now let's go play a quarter and a half of football. But I don't think you got to get cute here behind some backups on the offensive line either. I think you can be reasonable. Break a sweat. Go have a drive. Put together 10, 12 plays if you can. If it's a quick three and out or you only run five or six plays, I think you could get him out there for a second drive and maybe coach it up to help get the ball out of his hand pretty quickly. I don't need anything long developing in the pocket, 5 and 7 steps down the field. And then you get him on the sideline to cut up with his teammates for a couple hours.
I'm with you. And I'd even, you know, obviously it's not a great bit of reinforcement, but I trust my second-year player. I would say, hey, today, don't stand in there and take that shot to the chops like you did against Cincinnati in Cincinnati in primetime. We're not doing that today. We're not doing the, reach out the football, dive for a first down. It's not a toughness contest. And if there ain't nothing there, get rid of that football. I do not want him touched. I don't need him touched. I don't need him hit at all. Nothing to prove in that regard. I mean, it's in a little bit, if there was a starting offensive line, I'd feel a little bit better about it. But I would go the extra mile to Jaden Daniels to say, earlier is better. If you got to throw a YOLO ball down there on a third and long, treat it as an arm punt, I don't care. I just don't want you taking any shots here tonight.
To that point, by the way, I said on Friday's show, I think it was, we were talking about positives with this team, areas where we feel really good. I do believe by the end of the year the offensive line could be a strength. And I think, Danny, this could be the best group they've had up front in a bunch of years. But right now, this moment, as Brandon Coleman's dealing with an injury and hasn't practiced in 2 weeks at guard, Sam Cosmi's not back yet, is not going to play tonight, obviously, and shouldn't be expected to play at the beginning of the year. I'm still counting on like a week 4 return. Maybe he starts the year on PUP. This is not what I'm hearing. This is what I'm speculating. They're actually saying otherwise. Right now, publicly, the last we heard was that they think he could be back for the start of the season. I just think that's a little bit unrealistic. But both your guards right now are unavailable. Mm-hmm. And then Tunsil, who's been in and out, and they know what he is. Tonight's interesting that he's not playing. Again, if you have Daniels out there, if Tunsil's available, I would play him. He's not going to be out there. So that means 3 backups. But Allegretti at right guard will be fine in replacing Sam Cosmi to start the season. But that's a Pro Bowl talent you're without. Coleman, I think, is going to be ready to start the year. You still have a few weeks, but this thing's lingering now. So the O-line is, high as I am on it this year, kind of long term, I am a little bit nervous right now, this moment, to tonight against the Bengals, yeah, just getting things started against the Giants, maybe the best pass rushing group you're going to face on your schedule twice this season. It's not like they're going to hit the ground sprinting, I don't think.
Yeah, hello, Abdul Carter. I'm with you. The on paper, when it all is together, gelled, etc., it looks very good. As you said, it looks like it's going to be one of the best offensive lines this org has had in some time, top to bottom. Hasn't happened yet, though. right? I mean, you remember some of the reports, whether it was different days in training camp, the burgundy versus gold inter-squad game, the defensive line dominated that day. And again, it's not everybody's not 100%. I fully understand that. I'm aware of all the information. All I'm saying is, though, if it's going to happen, it hasn't happened yet. Like, I would feel better if this was, hey, these guys are kicking the defensive front's butt at this point, and they can't touch the quarterback, and hasn't been a play where the quarterback's had to leave the pocket or whatever. Maybe not realistic, but simply saying, I'd feel a little bit better about it. I'm with you in the sense that on paper, this is a really good group. See Tunsil, see Connerly, and how bright the future is there. But it hasn't happened yet. And that's the only thing that gives me a little bit of pause, and we're not going to see a big step in terms of putting my mind at ease tonight, as you mentioned, with three backups at a minimum going at least for the starters.
Yeah, it's just a different line completely when you're talking about left to right, Wiley, Chris Paul.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Tyler Biadasz, Nick Allegretti, and a rookie in Josh Connerly. Then when you've got a Pro Bowler in Sam Cosmi at right guard, a guy that I think will eventually play in a Pro Bowl at left guard in Brandon Coleman, and the player that you just made your biggest splash acquisition of the entire offseason, spent a lot on, and will extend eventually, in my opinion, and Laremy Tunsil is one of the best tackles in football. Otherwise, tonight, in terms of players who will not go in this, the closest to a dress rehearsal we're going to get, defensively, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, who's been dealing with injury, a veteran, did not play coach's decision for Bobby Wagner, linebacker, and Von Miller off the edge. Jordan McGee, who they think is going to help a lot defensively this year, is hurt again.
Again.
And then Jonathan Jones, the veteran in the secondary, who they're trying to get to 100%. I mean, what stands out to me there, first things first, Wagner and Miller, you don't need to play those guys. It's not like the defense is as reliant on continuity together as the offense. You want to be able to communicate and get everybody on the same page, but Von Miller's a hired heat-seeking missile this year that's going to come in on passing downs and try to close like a big league ninth-inning arm. Bobby Wagner, when the lights turn on, he'll be fine shouting commands, getting everybody to do the things they need to do pre-snap. The Jordan McGee one, man. Like, he was the story in the first few days of camp. Remember, we heard they're going to move Frankie Louvu down to the edge, and he's going to rush a lot, and they're going to need this extra linebacker. Jordan McGee's supposed to be that guy. Last year, more often than not, he didn't prove available. And we're in that situation again here in camp. Hopefully, he can get right and get on the field. But this continues to linger now, and this has kind of been almost the entirety of his career, that it's promising. When he plays, he looks the part. It looks like they got a steal in the fifth round, but they just can't get him on the grass.
Yeah, we've done this before, right, where the promise of somebody is so exciting and so tantalizing, and you can't wait to see it, and you never get to, right? I mean, then Redskins and now stupid name have had plenty of these guys throughout their history, whether it was Bryce Love, the running back that was going to be a game changer from Stanford, or, you know, a million other dudes that you just never get to see. I don't know. I'm hoping this is just one of those precautionary injuries and he's just nicked up and eventually he'll. But at this point, GP, talking about McGee, it just seems like his own team can't get right. Whether it's his fault or not, I have no idea. It probably isn't. But so I'm bummed about that. This is going to be a great chance, I think, for him to get some minutes. In terms of Wagner and Miller, I think you said it. To me, if you're a gold jacket guy that's in, you know, your mid to upper 30s, that's fine. Play, don't play, whatever. I'd kind of throw Ertz into that group as well, where I don't necessarily need to see Zach Ertz, a guy that's been oft injured, and last year was remarkably healthy, given his recent track record. So I'm okay with those guys not going. Again, would have loved to have seen it, just because, again, there's not much time on the grass for these dudes, but, you know, you trust a little bit that a veteran like Miller and a veteran like Wagner was able to put in their time and get to the point where they need to feel comfortable to be able to give you that full 17.
I'll be shocked based on the fact that Ertz, the number one receiving target, especially without Terry McLaurin, and the O-line with the injury problems it has right now, is the depth chart that it looks like at those positions. Daniel's playing slightly surprising to me, but it also tells me we're going to see very little of him. Like, I think it's in and out, and it could even be, you know, 4 or 5 play series, and you saw him this preseason, and now he's on to the regular year. I just saw that the Atlanta Falcons are already shutting down Michael Penix for their upcoming game, so he won't even get a snap as a second-year guy who barely played. He's got three games under his belt. And that is certainly the trend around the NFL. So I just wouldn't count on seeing a whole lot of Jaden Daniels if you were coming to the game tonight. But you will get to see the five car on the track for the first time since the NFC Championship game. I'm actually sitting at the stadium now. Danny is back in the Navy Yard in our Half Street Studios. I got to tell you, Danny, the stadium looks beautiful. They continue to do a lot of work. And I don't mean the aesthetics of the outside, like it's still Northwest Stadium.
Yeah.
But the field itself is gorgeous. And just walking in, like the paint, the carpet, the things they've done in the areas I walk in, the murals on the walls, it's quite literally a can of paint. I mean, it's the lipstick on the pig. It's what they're able to do, but they keep on shelling out the money. They dropped $70 million into this thing pretty quickly as an ownership group. And I think if you come here enough, you can tell. It's raining right now. There's no tarp on the field. It's kind of a light rain here at Northwest Stadium. I'll be curious to see if they pull a tarp out. But you got the ESPN crew pushing a lot of their equipment out onto the sideline right now for replay review, content and whatnot being set up. So we're still far enough out from the game that it's the calm before the storm here. But I'm excited for Monday Night Football to be in town.
This is, you know, you get a national telecast out of this thing, right? I mean, it, you know, doesn't
count. It's a Joe Buck, Troy Aikman fiasco tonight.
Doesn't count as a primetime game, but it sort of is, right? I mean, there's a reason people are going to be tuning in the first quarter to see perennial MVP candidate Joe Burrow, who is, you know, on God tier at this point in terms of his quarterback acumen with a couple excellent skill guys in his own right, to go up against the new phenom, the new kid on the block, Jaden Daniels, who's looking for a repeat performance of last year, which will hopefully put him into that kind of conversation as well, knocking on the door of that, you know, elite group of four horsemen. But it'll be fun, man. I mean, to me, the first one I was frustrated by because I didn't get to see a lot of the guys I wanted to see, and it was sort of such a lackluster effort. And again, I don't care about a preseason score. Some people do. Some people don't. You know, for the camera, sometimes they might yell about wanting to win the game or execution or this, that, and the other. I just want to see it look professional, and it didn't really to me. It looked like they were overmatched, unprepared, slow, lethargic, couldn't get out of the huddle, the 13 penalties, I think it was. I want to see a cleaner thing tonight just to kind of set my mind at ease and make me think, you know, that my sort of simpleton way of thinking that let's just double check and make sure people aren't reading their press clippings. Let's just make sure everybody's still about the work of football that has to happen for you to have the kind of season you want to have after last year's remarkable run. Counting on remarkable two straight years isn't the smartest way to go about your business with a more difficult schedule this year, a division opponent right out the gate that's desperate as all hell. To me, I'd like to see a couple milestones met where I'll feel a lot better. So I've got a little anxiety going to this game as well, which is strange for a preseason phenomenon.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.